Welcome back to His Time in our conversations on the feasts of the Bible feasts, and the calendar, the church calendar before the incarnation with Pastor Kevin Parviz. Good morning, Pastor Parviz.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Things going well at Congregation Kavi Shalom?
Absolutely, you bet. Right.
Wonderful.
Great season.
Well, we last time we talked about Sukkot, the Feast of the Tabernacles, Feast of Booths, and today... Hanukkah.
Oh, that's a great holiday. Yeah. Not a Bible feast.
Well,
I wouldn't say it's not a Bible feast, but you won't find Hanukkah anywhere in the Hebrew scriptures. It's actually from the New Testament, but it does commemorate events, of course, that happened in the intertestamental period, about 167 years before Jesus was born. So...
Fascinating.
Yeah, so to call this a Bible feast, you have to put a little asterisk with that. Not one of the feasts that God has commanded, but still a good time. And obviously, as those of you who know and watch television anytime around Christmas, it's one of the most secular of Jewish holidays that you will find. The lighting of the candles and all that good stuff.
So what's the history? You said it comes from that intertestamental period.
Yeah, that it's about 167 BC when Syria was in charge of the land, and there was a Antiochus Epiphanes, the king of Syria, decided to press his will upon the Jewish people. And one of the things that he wanted to do is he wanted to force the Jewish people there to not only worship the Greek gods, because he was a very Grecian leader, but he also wanted them to worship him as the Messiah. He had known about the messianic prophecies and of course, during this intertestamental period, there was great expectation. You know, the prophets have ceased speaking, and there is this time of just waiting. And so Antiochus inserts himself and declares himself to be, in some sense, the anointed one. And the Hasmoneans rebelled, the priestly caste, and took a group of people up into the mountains, trained them how to fight with rocks and sticks. It's a great story. It's out of the Book of Maccabees in the Apocrypha.
And Maccabees means the
hammer. Yeah, the hammer. I used to have some hammer pants when I was a school principal, and I always called myself the Maccabee. So the Judah Maccabee is the hammer. He was called the hammer, and he was the son of the Hasmonean priest and trained. And of course, you can tell the story in many different ways, but 2,000 bedraggled Israelites with sticks and stones fighting 10,000 Syrians with armor and spears and bows and arrows and fighting drunken elephants, because they like to do that in that time. They'd get the elephants drunk and stampede them into the opposing armies. That was an Alexander the Great trick. Thank you so much. So, you have this great, at all odds fight. Mm-hmm. And, of course, God is God, and the Israelites prevail and kick the Syrians out. And then that's when the story stops and the legend begins. And with Jewish people, there's a lot about the oral tradition. And, you can tell, and we're a very storytelling people. In some sense, though, I think that it really takes away this great miracle that God did in the victory over Syria, because the story then goes on to say that the Syrians had desecrated the temple, and when they recaptured the temple, they had actually slaughtered a pig on the altar, so they had to rededicate the altar, and they had to relight the holy lamp, and there was only enough oil to let it burn for one day. That was sanctified oil. Would have taken 8 days to make more, and so we have another 8-day festival. And the miracle is that little tiny bit of oil that should have only burned for a day burned for 8 days, and so that's why Hanukkah, which is actually the feast of dedication, it's the feast of rededicating the temple to God, has become the festival of lights. And then we have the menorah, the 8-branched, 9-branched, actually, a candelabra, And the kids will typically now, they'll light one candle every night, one on the first night, two on the second night, until the whole menorah is ablaze. They'll play games like dreidel, and they'll eat potato pancakes called latkes, and sing the songs, even the Adam Sandler song, yes. And yet the sad thing is that whole miracle of the oil, in some sense, is kind of a smokescreen. Because it takes away from the real miracle, which is that God preserved this little people from this enormous army from which he would bring the Messiah, the true Messiah. And the oil, it sort of takes away from that miracle. And so, of course, we try to highlight the actual miracle of Hanukkah rather than the traditional. I mean, the miracle of the oil wasn't even recorded in writing until about the 4th century. So it took him that long to get the story right and write it down. And no, that's not fair. But it's nowhere that we, you know, that's an oral tradition, rather than let's look at the real miracle, which is that God sustained this little people from whom he had promised the Messiah would come, and very soon he does. So the events of Hanukkah are not in the Hebrew scriptures. But they are in the New Testament, the Greek scriptures. Jesus celebrates Hanukkah in John chapter 10, and he is there at the Feast of Dedication at the temple.
Is that how it's described in the New Testament, the Feast of Dedication?
It says, I think in the English translation, I can't quote the ESV for certain, but I know in the NIV it often says, he was there at the Feast of Dedication, and there's a little asterisk at the bottom. It says, that is Hanukkah. But yeah, that's what it is. And it's at the festival of Hanukkah, while this great story is being told, that Jesus says, you have asked who the Messiah is. I tell you, it is me. He first declared himself to be the Messiah at Hanukkah. And so that's a pretty amazing connection for that.
You've mentioned festivals that are 8 days. What's the significance of 8 in these festivals? Why 8 days?
I think often because they always will encompass the Sabbath. They'll always encompass the weekend, if you will. Sometimes two Sabbaths, obviously, if they start on the Sabbath. So there's just I think it's just a way in which God has allowed us to give a time of rest. I think it is. You know, one could make argument. We had our conversation about Shabbat, and on the seventh day you will rest. And so there is this kind of conception of the seventh day is a day of rest, and we have an extra day of rest, an extra day, sort of the grace of God, sort of thing. That is in the eight days.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of emphasis on rest in these feasts. There's a time to be apart from our work and our labor.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think God knows our tendency to overwork and to and he also knows the tendency of the world to distract us from the ways of God. And so I think these calendar events are really good reins, if you will, to pull us back and to recognize it. And that's why it's so important, I think, I'm often concerned by Christians who will say, you know, they can be Christians and not go to church. You know, that's the reining in of the world that gets us back and sort of refocuses us on what is really important, which is, you know, our relationship with God through Christ and our relationship with one another in the church.
We deceive ourselves because we don't necessarily see any very clear perimeters, any specific standards. We just deceive ourselves in thinking that we can do whatever, but...
Yeah, well, that's the problem. We deceive ourselves into thinking we can do anything we want, yeah.
And putting the emphasis on me or on you know, on myself, that I'm the one doing it, but rather...
God doing it for us, absolutely.
And where does he promise to meet us? Where does he promise to meet us and to sustain us? In his word, that he gives us in these times when we set aside, when we have that time for his word to hear it.
Yep. So you have this great events of the calendar, and certainly the events, the church calendar after the incarnation adds to those great events. I don't think you can rest too much. You know, the older I get, the more I really appreciate rest. So resting in the Lord anyway, and in Hebrews it says that Jesus is our rest, and so we have I think it's important for us to remember these things, and Jesus is doing this. He celebrated even Hanukkah, which was not even in the Hebrew scriptures. He's there at the temple. He's celebrating the Feast of Dedication. He's telling a story, and then he's telling the rest of the story. You know, the Jews have, up until about the 10th century, have looked for the Messiah all their lives. And, they, Antiochus Epiphanes, he called himself the manifestation of God, Epiphanes. And he tried to assert his messiahship. They rejected that. But then when Judah Maccabee led the revolt successfully, he was hailed as a messiah, but he died. And, and Jesus finally says, when they say, the people said, if you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. They're hungry to know. And Jesus says, I have told you, I am he. And he does that at Hanukkah. It's a great proclamation.
We're talking Bible feasts with Pastor Kevin Parviz, with the exception of Hanukkah being a feast, not specifically from the Hebrew scriptures. So, we will talk more Bible feasts, more feasts next week with Pastor Kevin Parviz. Stick around for more His Time right after this.